be back with someone from Gadfly Theater. Be right back.
Programming on KFAI is supported by UCARE's Living Well program, working to keep Minnesotans healthier. Adults should get at least 30 minutes of active movement every day for good health. If the weather is bad, try an exercise video indoors. Learn more at ucare.org.
You're listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM, Minneapolis, 106.7 FM in St. Paul, Radio Without Boundaries. This is Fresh Fruit, the nation's longest-running queer radio program. I'm Peter Gokey. We have in the studio with us Keith Peterson.
Hello, everyone.
And Andy Berkey.
Hello.
And we have another guest that we are thrilled to have on.
We do. Tonight we have Emmanuel Elliott from Gadfly Theater Productions, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about a new production coming up in June, which I am very, very excited about. Why don't you tell us about it?
Yeah, thanks for having me tonight, you guys. So the production is called the Final Frontier Festival. This is our first annual geek and nerd fest that we're having at Gadfly. This year the theme is sci-fi and fantasy, so there's six short plays, all sci-fi and fantasy, that are going to be at the Nimbus stage the 2 weeks before Pride.
That's excellent. What kind of acts are people putting together?
I have it right here. I will let you know. Honest to God by J.C. Pankratz is a one-woman show about kind of returning back, coming back to your home of origin, and it's chock full of like Christian mythology. There's a burning bush on stage, and you know, it's a one woman show, so that's pretty cool. Who Killed Captain Kirk by Paco Jose Madden is a murder mystery set at a sci-fi or a Star Trek convention that the audience gets to choose the murderer every night. So
wow, that sounds absolutely fascinating.
Sounds fun. that's the show I'm directing, and there's three different endings, so we never really know what the show is going to look like from night to night. And then And then The Wolves Above by Alyssa Zaksic is a play about a almost perfect fembot that was designed by two scientists, and she becomes self-aware, and, you know, stuff ensues. And then there's Falling Awake, where the characters are kind of grappling with grief and about, you know, a gay friend that they have that dies, and it's told, like, almost all throughout their dreams, and it's very, like, transcendent and kind of funky, but a lot of fun. And then Love Bot by local playwright Matthew A. Everett, in which a gay man and a lesbian astronaut are charged with repopulating the world after Armageddon.
Wow, that's a fascinating storyline.
Oh, it's
a throwback to Queer as Folk.
Right. And there's I have it on good authority that there may be a bunny costume involved. I'm not really sure how that works in yet, but
nice. Any turkey basters?
I'm not sure. But if Scott Pacoditis, who's directing the show, is listening tonight. Scott, we want turkey basters, apparently. And then the last show is Gargle McFury Slays Gender Essentialism, and is kind of about this girl who's a sci-fi fanatic and then meets the platonic ideals of masculinity and femininity, and then has to battle them in life or death, or a death match to see who wins. And a whole lot of fun. A lot of stage combat in that one, and it kind of like watches almost like a Mortal Kombat video game. So lots of fun stuff happening on our
side. Where is Nimbus?
Nimbus is at, the address is 1517 Central Avenue Northeast.
And are people able to buy tickets for this online, or packages of tickets? Or?
Yes. So there's six shows, and there's two different nights. So there's three shows each night, a set A and a set B. Tickets for the entire festival are $40, and per night is $20. And you can find that on our website, gadflytheater.org, and theater spelled with an R-E. And we have complete show descriptions and cast lists and some director profiles and everything that you could ever want from and ever want to know about there. And there's also a link to our brown paper ticket site on our website there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about Gadfly Theater Productions. How did it get started, and what kind of stuff do you guys do?
Well, Gadfly Theater Productions is a queer and feminist theater company. We've been around about 4 years now. We just celebrated our four-year anniversary in March. So it really just started with my business partner, Cassandra Snow, and I. We were in college in North Carolina at the time, and you know, we were just really dissatisfied by the level of fluff our college was producing, and we're like, you know, and we weren't really seeing ourselves on stage. You know, it was a lot of Shakespeare, a lot of very, you know, straight, white, you know, cisgender people sitting down to dinner together and then arguing about their families. And we're like, you know, we've had it with the straight white dinner party place. So we were like, all right, what aren't we seeing? And we're not. And so we decided, in order to see the type of theater that we wanted to see, we would have to make it ourselves. And so a big part of our mission is we give a stage to those communities that don't really have a voice or feel like their voice has been silenced in some way. And for us, a lot of that was, unfortunately, queer people and women or female-identified persons. And so that's the type of material we try to focus on.
How did you come up with Gadfly?
Gadfly is a term that was first applied to Socrates way back in, you know, the days of yore or whenever he was around. And refers to someone who has some sort of message of like social change, or, you know, there's something broken about our society and it's very in your face about it. And they're usually right. And so they stand the test of time. And it was like, hey, that Socrates guy, he had something there. And so we kind of adopted that as a moniker. And we do things that could potentially be seen as a little uncomfortable. Last season we did a show called Mitzi's Abortion, and we're one of the only theater companies that was dealing with issues of like women's reproductive rights in election years. And so we did that, and then we just put up a show called Queer also last season, and it was kind of running a little bit like a queer vagina monologues, where we talked to people in the queer community and was like, tell us your story, and then we put a big play together and really kind of focused on some of the identities that are not in the GLBT acronym. So there was a lot of, you know, we touched on polyamory and genderqueer identities and a whole host of other things that we didn't even know existed when we started the project, and learned so much and talked to some really great people. And, you know, the project still really isn't finished. We're always accepting stories, and hopefully it's something that will grow and continue to evolve as, you know, queer history and the queer climate changes.
So I'm really excited about Final Frontier, just because I'm a confirmed sci-fi geek.
Mm-hmm. And you're just a confirmed geek.
You know, and there isn't a lot that'll get me out to see theater, but this is what's going to do it.
I agree.
How did you come up with the idea? How did Gadfly come up with the idea for this?
Well, we do a lot of issues plays. Obviously, I mentioned abortion, and we did a show about sexual assault last season, and we're like, you know, this is a lot of really intense stuff, so we want to kind of cut loose and do something a little fun. And, you know, we were like, there's no one really doing, you know, queer sci-fi on stage. And like, my business partner and I, we got to talking, and we were like, there's a lot of, you know, crossover between nerd culture and queer culture, and, you know, feeling like an outsider and not really having anyone to talk to and not really seeing your stories on stage. And we're like, well, let's just do it, you know. And another big part of our mission is using or trying to do work that is new or obscure, and trying to work with local playwrights. So we're like, let's do a short play festival. And, you know, that's a good way to get six directors and six playwrights we've never worked with before that are kind of local. And from, we have both local and national playwrights that are, and a lot of these are world premieres on our stage. And we're like, and it was just a way for us to be like, all right, we do all of our serious stuff in the season, so at the end of the season in Pride Month, let's just have fun and still like address some of these issues that don't really get talked about.
Yeah, it sounds like even in this sci-fi, mm-hmm. you know, the Final Frontier, it's a little lighter, but you still get into some serious issues in those. I mean, just from the descriptions, I can tell that some of them are going to hit kind of hard at times.
Yeah, we tried to keep a pretty nice balance between comedy and drama, and I think it averaged out to be pretty good. And there's a lot of just really interesting stuff, and it's a very big project for us. You know, we haven't worked with this many people before, and we haven't really attacked so many issues before. And, you know, we're doing everything from like class distinctions, which you wouldn't think about being falling under the umbrella of Star Trek, but there's like classism and like racism and that are kind of touched on in that. And then we have, you know, a lot about like female autonomy with The Wolves Above, and But then we just have some that are just hilarious, like this Gargoyle McFury Slays Essentialism, which is, you know, hitting on some good things, but, you know, you're watching actors, like, play Mortal Kombat in in live action, and just a whole lot of fun. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it is. I love the fact that we have an abundance of theater, and it seems like, you know, we would burn out audiences, but new groups are coming along and they're doing great stuff, and you know, it's our job to support that. But in terms of just the amount of theater that we have available to us, we are so blessed. Mm-hmm. And it's great stuff, you know, it's great stuff.
Yeah, you know, along those lines, I just the other day had read a piece in the Windy City Times. They were talking about queer theater in Chicago and gave props to Minneapolis because Minneapolis had exported quite a few people that are now doing shows there. I think it's this weekend or last weekend. Some folks from Patrick's Cabaret.
Oh, nice.
Traveled
out. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember reading about that. Yeah.
Miss Ginger is one of them. I can't recall the other ones off the top of my head. But, you know, it was a really nice homage to the fact that Minneapolis is, you know, kind of almost regionally known for its queer art scene now. And it just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
Emmanuel, tell me, what does Gadfly have to look forward to in the future? What are you guys going to do?
Well, in the pipeline, so far we've got next season, we're doing another local playwright, Eli Effinger Weintraub's play called Girl Gumshoe and Detective Dad. And it's about a father-daughter relationship, and they were very close, and she's moving out of the basement for the first time, and she's moving in with her girlfriend and has a lot and still trying to, you know, find her own identity as an adult and still, like, be close to her father. And they play this game called Girl Gumshoe and Detective Dad, where when they were kids, one of them would hide a rubber ducky, and then they would solve the case of the missing rubber ducky. And so he initiates this game for, like, one last hurrah, and there may or may not be a murder. We don't really know. something falls off the roof, and they have to, you know, investigate. And so that's our first show of the season. That's coming in October at the People Center, just across the street. And then
it's almost like a prequel to Veronica Mars.
Yeah, it kind of is. There's a lot of Veronica Mars influence there. I don't know if that was intentional, but
who did you say the playwright for that was?
Eli Effinger Weintraub.
Okay.
And then in the spring of next year, we're doing a show called Vile Affections, which is about the show claims to be about the first lesbian relationship on record, and it's between two nuns in the small Italian convent.
And I always knew that.
Yeah, I buy that.
Yeah. And in addition to obviously touching on things about lesbianism, it really kind of takes a look at women's place in the church and how they adopt leadership roles and those, and takes a really interesting take on it. And there's some surprises in that one too, so I don't want to spoil anything. You'll have to come out and see it. And then we're wrapping it up with the festival again next year, but next year's festival is going to be queer horror. So,
I want that one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to.
We've got a couple plays kind of tucked away, but we're going to open up submissions probably, you know, after we close this festival and, you know, just see what we get. And hopefully it'll be another good time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. How do people get involved with Gadfly Theater? Let's say I'm a budding playwright. How would I get involved?
Really just let us know how you want to be involved, really. We're always, you know, we're always taking new scripts, and, you know, we're up to our ears and reading scripts and everything. And so if you have a script that has, like, awesome female and queer content or characters, send it our way and we'll read it and maybe put it in our season. Who knows? But we're always looking for volunteers, ushers. You know, most of our auditions are open, and we kind of, you know, whoever shows up to audition is, like, who we consider for roles. And we've got people, or we've worked with people who've never been in a show before, and we have people who are career actors who do this all the time. So there's a really good mix of kind of people who are green and people who are seasoned. And really any way you want to be involved, shoot us an email, gadflytheater@gmail.com, and we'll be like, yeah, we love building community and like just working with anyone who wants to come play on our playground, essentially.
That's awesome.
Fun. I love that mission of accessibility, too. I think that's really important for community reasons, but just as far as the arts go, rather have the arts be for people rather than, you know, an elite issue.
Accessibility is a huge issue for us. We want to keep everything as accessible as we can. With this show, we normally do 3 pay-what-you-can performances. With this show, since there's 2 different sets, we're doing 4 pay-what-you-can performances. So, you know, if you don't have the $12 to $20 that we normally charge for tickets, or, you know, the $20 for the festival, come on one of our Monday nights or our Sunday matinees and, you know, pay a dollar. We don't care, you know. Because we just want people to see themselves on our stage, and you know, we just want to provide that for people.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back in a minute.
KFAI will celebrate Minnesota's American Indian Month with a special day of Indigenous programming, Turtle Island Voices Rising, on Thursday, May 29th. The station is looking for a dynamic local programming produced by American Indians that explores the history of our peoples on Turtle Island. KFAI would like to invite American Indian community groups and members to submit program proposals to participate in this year's programming. The deadline for proposals will be on Wednesday, May 14th, and selected proposals will be aired on May 29th. If you or your organization is interested in participating in this year's programming, please visit kfai.org/AI Month.
Catalyst Politics and Culture, now on Fridays, 9 a.m., expanded to 1 hour. More arts and documentaries, new features, Fridays, 9 a.m., issues local to global on Catalyst, Fridays, 9 a.m., on KFAI, 90.3 FM Minneapolis, 106.7 FM St. Paul, online at kfai.org.
And we're back.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Fresh Fruit on KFAI. We're in studio with Emmanuel Elliott from Gadfly Theater Productions, talking about a show coming up called The Final Frontier, which is a sci-fi spectacular.
Geek Fest.
So I was just wondering, let's say I'm thinking about becoming a playwright, and, you know, we have this great queer community theater in Gadfly. How would I break down those barriers? What should I know? Should I be intimidated? You know?
This is a question I struggle with myself as a budding playwright. And I think the big issue that a lot of playwrights face is here in the Twin Cities, you touched on it earlier, there's so much theater, and it's really kind of hard to break out and get noticed. And so that's something that, you know, we're trying to figure out, okay, so what makes us different? What makes us stand out? And then I think really it just comes down to find out what's not being talked about. And if it terrifies you and it scares you to the very core of your being to write about and discuss something, that's what the audience needs to hear. And that's part of the reasons we do the shows that we do, because no one talks about some things, and I think that's really where you start instigating change, is when you notice a problem and then call attention to it, then it can't hide anymore.
Where does a person go to actually learn the mechanics, though, of writing a play? I mean, it's nice to think that we can all just go and start writing and there we go, we have a play, but it's actually kind of a technical writing skill.
It is a technical writing skill to some degree, but like I said, we work with a lot of green artists, and we're not, I can't speak for the greater theater company at large or community at large, but I know at Gadfly we're really interested in exploring other mediums. So it doesn't have to be, you know, you follow these steps correctly, and, you know, there's the 3-act play structure, and, you know, here's your inciting incident and your rising action, and then the denouement, to throw in one of those nifty French words. We don't really care about all that. All it is if you can tell us a good story, and if you can tell it in a way that will keep us engaged, you know, that's the stories we want to hear, and we don't really care who thinks you're a good playwright or who thinks you're a good spoken word artist. If you have something to say, we'll listen, and we'll give you a platform to make other people listen as well.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. So I want to thank you for being here. This has been
a
really great chance to talk about theater and some really interesting theater, sci-fi, queer sci-fi theater.
I'm looking forward to horror next
year. One last question I wanted to broach with you is, you know, Keitha kind of touched on this too. We have a great theater scene in Minneapolis and St. Paul. But the thing is, we also have a really great queer art scene. There's really exciting things happening. I wonder if you had any insights about why Minneapolis? Why is it such a hotbed of great queer art?
I have no real educated guess, but I love it, you know. I think it's, you know, we're right in the middle of the two coasts, so when everyone, like, runs away from home, my personal opinion is they're aiming for the other coast and just kind of run out of steam in the Midwest. And then, you know, like, I'm from the South. I'm originally from Tennessee and, like, went to school in Iowa. And then I was like, well, Minneapolis, sure. I can hang out there for a while. And then I got here and I was like, holy crap, there's tons of queer people here and, like, tons of, like, awesome art.
We're really gay here.
Yeah.
Super gay.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, and so I don't know exactly what makes it like such a hotbed for queer art, but I enjoy it and it informs my art as much as like I hope my art in Gadfly informs the greater consciousness, I guess.
Yeah, I've actually been exploring that question with a few people I've been talking to as I've been, you know, immersing myself more in LGBT arts in Minnesota, is that I keep finding new things. You never run out of really exciting things that are happening in the community. And so it's just been a question that I've been asking everybody. And, you know, I kind of want to put it all together and say, you know, why? The question why is a good question, but it's more just a celebration question. You
right.
Know?
Yeah.
Well, and even within the queer community, we have such diversity. Mm-hmm. We've got Soy, for example, Shades of Yellow, and some of the stuff that they're doing to really bring about the art within that community. And we're just so vibrant.
Yeah. We have a really, really healthy, strongly organized trans community here, mm-hmm. and BOP is a really major influence. And so I think the fact that we're really well-educated in Minnesota compared to other areas of the
It
nation.
Doesn't hurt that we've got a lot of good liberal arts liberal arts colleges.
Yeah.
But you brought up trans, and I wanted to just quickly mention that Julie Davith, who transitioned 22 years ago, or no, she transitioned when she was 22. She recently wrote a play about her life and her growing up in Soderville, Minnesota, which is out by Ham Lake. And the first run was so successful that the dean of the college said, we need to do a second run of this. And now the column is in discussions with her on producing it as a video also, because it's really powerful. Production. We'll put a link up for that too, because it's over at MCTC, and it's so powerful the way that the story is told, and you really get a sense of how difficult it is for, in her case, a young boy growing up in rural Minnesota at the time, who all of a sudden has an epiphany and realizes I'm in the wrong. She would not like it if I said I'm in the wrong body. We had a long conversation yesterday. She is articulate, the play is well written, and I highly recommend that everybody just crowd that theater. And
she has a really powerful stage presence too.
Oh, she's a terrific writer. She's a great comedian, and now she's a accomplished playwright as well.
Good for
That's
her.
That's great. And she should consider Gadfly, too.
Yeah.
If you're listening, you know, gadflytheater.org.
You're with an R-E.
We're talking to you.
Well, Emmanuel, I want to thank you so much for coming in
tonight. Thank you for having me, guys.
Telling us a little bit more about it. And I'm really excited for Final Frontier. I think it's going to be a hoot.
One last thing you guys should probably know. The festival opens June 13th.
That's a very good point.
Good information.
And it runs for 2 weekends, the 2 weekends before Pride.
Yeah, just in time for Pride. Excellent.
Yeah, June is a great month.
Made that mistake.
Busy month, yeah.
So we're just about done here today, but I wanted to mention a couple of things.
Okay.
The column today just published an article that's making quite a bit of waves out there. there's a ministry called Trinity Works that has been, for the past 5 years, training young evangelicals to go to Pride and try to convert gays to straight. So they put into plan this 5-year plan that would... So they go through this boot camp, right? And then every year they'd go down to Pride or to the gay bars and scope it out and just kind of find out what makes LGBT people tick. And this year they're finally implementing that plan. And they want to run out the gay 90s. The gay 90s has told me there's no way in hell that's going to happen.
Right.
imagine that, getting a couple $1,000 on a weekend you usually make. Heaps of money. Busiest gay weekend of the year. It's actually, on a serious note, it's kind of fascinating to see how sophisticated they've come up with some of the ways that they exploit weaknesses that are usually inflicted by that style of Christianity to begin with. So they plan on going to Pride and finding people who maybe are not incredibly comfortable in their LGBT status and try to exploit that, tear them away from their family and partners, set them up in host homes with evangelical families so that they no longer have ties to their friends and family who are supportive, and put them through ex-gay ministry and ex-gay therapy.
It's really scary because to me that just seems so opportunistic. You're going to an environment where we have for years tried to create Pride being an inclusive and a safe place for people to go and find out more about, you know, what they're feeling inside or what they're thinking, and now to have vipers in the woods.
It's predatory, and the irony there is that there's that ugly stereotype that gay men are predators of young males. And
exactly,
this is a clear case of predation on the gay community. Then, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing, and we're just really glad to put that to light. The column recently. And for those who don't know, the column is Keith and I do a nonprofit news outlet online called The Column. We've been focusing pretty heavily on the ex-gay movement in Minnesota and the legislation that'll be coming forward next session to try to ban it for minors. Legislators said last session they really didn't know too much about it. And that's how this article got started, was researching that. So, if you get the opportunity, pop over and check that out.
But if you read the title of the article, know that what is not being said in the article, and it's a lengthy read. I mean, it's not a quick read. No, the 90s is not going to rent out the 90s on Gay Pride weekend, for God's sake.
Not today, Satan.
No, they never would. And other news, too. I mean, great news today about South Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that marriage equality lawsuit filed. I hear rumors that North Dakota will be coming up pretty soon, and that'll be all 50 states that are wrapped up. I wanted to also mention the passing of someone who'd been a pretty strong advocate for the LGBT community. Representative James Oberstar, who represented the area around Duluth for decades, since the early 70s, passed on about 2 weeks ago. He was... except for one vote, and I think it was a vote in favor of DOMA, but that vote was also after he tried to stall DOMA. He went to bat for the LGBT community on ENDA, on Don't Ask, Don't Tell, on a whole host of other really important issues for us. And so we lost a really great Minnesotan.
We did, and not only for the gay advocacy that he accomplished in his career, but also he was a staunch advocate for preserving the BWCAW. And I was up in Ely when the Fraser Oberstar debates were happening, and my car tire was slashed by people in Ely that really wanted to see it open up for motor use. And Oberstar was right there always saying, no, we can't do this. It's pristine, and we need to keep it that way.
He's a great man.
Yeah.
Well, thanks to both our guests, Josh and
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. I was almost said Ian. I remember the I. Sorry about that, Emmanuel. He's sitting right here.
Yeah.
And thanks to Keith and Andy for coming in and co-hosting this evening. We'll be back at you on fourth Thursday of next month with our Pride episode. Yay, another season of Pride coming up. Coming up next is Encuentro. Thanks for tuning in and have a great month.
Amigos, amigas, muy buenas tardes y bienvenidos, como siempre, a este espacio, a este encuentro. Los saludo con un gran gusto, el gusto de siempre de poder estar una vez más con ustedes, de poder coincidir en este espacio que el día de hoy, en este encuentro que el día de hoy tiene para ustedes en su primera hora, una exploración de la tradición del trío en Latinoamérica. Toda la primera hora consistirá precisamente de esta bella tradición latinoamericana con ejemplos de Cuba, de México, de Argentina, de Puerto Rico y más y más. Después de las 9 de la noche tendré para ustedes un segmento que se llama Raga Son. Y exploraremos ahí el encuentro y el abrazo que se da en la tradición de la música tradicional de la India con la tradición del son jarocho. Esto y más tendrá este encuentro para ustedes, amigos, amigas. Es como siempre un gran placer tener su compañía, estar con ustedes. Bienvenidos.
El beso de tu boca tentadora que me diste.